Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We are in our series, The Kingdom of God. Today's message is Love in the Kingdom of God. I am Dr. Mary Craig. This is a live teleservice, February 14, 2021. And let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you, Lord God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross, to pay the penalty for sin. And we thank you, Lord, that he died and he was buried and he rose again the third day. We thank you, Lord, that this resurrection tells us that his offering of himself for sin was accepted. And we thank you that we are accepted in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that Jesus ascended into heaven and he sits at the right hand of the Almighty as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler over the kings of this earth. We thank you, Lord, that he is the judge of what is living and what is dead, and he is coming again. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit come as a spirit of truth to guide us into the truth of your word and to come as the spirit of wisdom and revelation to reveal Jesus Christ to us, and especially today, love in the kingdom of God. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here in the United States, is February 14th, and we celebrate this day as Valentine's Day. We celebrate relationships and love among families and friends. The Bible speaks of different kinds of love, from family love, storge, to romantic love, eros, to brotherly love, phileo, to enduring love, pragma, to agape, or the God kind of love. So we're going to look today at love in the kingdom of God, and let's allow God's word to speak as only it can. The kingdom of God is a kingdom over which God rules, a place where God rules. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, ruler over the kings of this earth. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom of God with a call to repent or perish. The kingdom had come and is now. Jesus separated his disciples from the tagalongs with words like this, from Luke 6, verses 26 to 28. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers treated the false prophets in the same way. But to those of you who will listen, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat or spitefully use you. Luke 6, verses 26 to 28. And then Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Luke 6, verse 35. Now, I want to make a point that I hope I can make clearly, and that is that in this message, we will be talking about personal ethics, what we do personally as believers, as Christians. We are not talking today about government ethics or what some call social ethics. Government ethics. Government ethics are talked about in Romans chapter 13 and elsewhere throughout the Bible. Indictments like in the Minor Prophets especially Amos and other minor prophets and the major prophets. And government has the legal use of force, or as some say, a monopoly on violence. Okay, and the role of those governed depends on how much individual freedom should a person have. So it moves all governments. All governments have the legal use of force, and it's up to the governed, really, to set the limit, as it were, as to how much individual freedom should a person have. So in the United States of America, we have individual freedoms that are guaranteed to us, are supposed to be guaranteed to us, in our founding documents, like the Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and Bill of Rights. And even, you know, legal cases, they're supposed to hammer that out and whatever. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the right to bear arms, like to defend yourself and things like that. And so we must keep that in mind, because as governments move away from, say, a democracy or a republican form of government, a republic, we are a republic in the United States, and technically, really. And so we have freedoms. But if you move away from that, and as a person loses their personal freedoms, then you're moving, and we're moving towards things that are socialist, or eventually it moves to dictatorship. But regardless of what form of government we live under across history, cultures, and nations, and different time periods, what Jesus is talking about here, and that we're going to talk about today, is personal ethics. They give us guidance personally. So let's go on. Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." And that's from Matthew 5, verses 43 to 45. John 13, verse 35. "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another," or whenever you have love one to another. So loving our enemies demonstrates that we are children of the living God. How do we get there? Romans 5, 5 through 11. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and then while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Romans 5, verses 5 to 11. So first let's consider surrender. At a point in time when we were enmity with God, by nature children of wrath, justly deserving everlasting punishment for our cosmic rebellion and treason, for rank disbelief and disobedience, we came to the place where the Holy Spirit, who is the life maker, opened our blind spiritual eyes and turned our rebellious hearts and opened our deaf ears to hear this good news. We, by the grace and mercy of God, surrendered our lives, our very selves, in full reliance and trust in Jesus Christ alone for our destiny, both daily and eternal. Whoever is your Lord is the one that you have surrendered to determine your destiny. Next, let's talk about forgiveness. We love because God first loved us. He forgave our sins, paying the penalty for them, and doing everything necessary and sufficient to remove all guilt and liability. Jesus sacrificed himself. He was the atoning sacrifice for our sins and the one who propitiated God's wrath against all that was contrary to his nature and ways. He redeemed us from the pit, from bondage to sin, making the reconciliation, making it possible for us to know God as Father and not just as judge. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you, even as to the same quantity and quality as God in Christ forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. The God's love is an electing love, a compassionate love, an everlasting love, a love without a lie. Let's think about the word receive. We need to receive this love, believe in it, and receive it. Let the Lord love you. I'll say that again. Let the Lord love you. Not so you can manipulate him and think he's going to just let you have and do whatever you want. No. God's love is the kind that warns. It can be tough love. For God jealously guards his own as the flame of Yah. He separates us from our sin unto himself. He is holy, and his love is holy. When we can receive it, we benefit, for he shines on us and heals us right to the core of our being. Let's think of the word follow. Who will follow the Lamb? Who will follow the Christ? Jesus calls us to follow him. The way is narrow, but he is the good shepherd. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He is the king of the kingdom who rules with righteous judgment and who cares for us. Let's talk about keeping his commandments. Keep his commandments. 1 John 2, 3-6. Now by this we know that we know him, if or whenever we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 3, 10-15. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. And it's talking about loving other Christians, loving one another in the family of the living and true God. Love in the kingdom of God is to be without hypocrisy, without putting on a mask. We are called to love one another. There is no fear in love. Dictators generate fear. They need people to be afraid, to fear. Monarchs look for loyalty, for honor. The hallmark of a democracy is freedom of speech. Freedom of speech. In God's kingdom, we need a sense of duty and an obedience of faith, a sense of community, a willing submission. God's perfect love casts out fear. God asks questions. He also invites questions. He is not threatened. He does not tempt anyone to evil. This is very important because when we study the cult groups, cults and that, cult leaders or the leaders of a cult group don't allow questions. They don't like questions, and they don't answer questions. God asks questions, and he also invites questions. In fact, years ago, I did an entire Bible study on the questions Jesus asked. Okay. So we do the will of the Father with the mind of Christ and the heart of the Holy Spirit, who empowers us with grace to obey through faith, which works by love. God's love transcends human and worldly love in loving enemies. His kindness is designed to lead to repentance, Romans chapter 2. His goodness extends to all in some ways. And as many say, God is good to all in some ways, and he's good to some in all ways. General evil is overcome by specific acts of good, Romans chapter 12. We're talking about attitudes, appeals in prayer, and actions. God's love is an action kind of love. Not a soap opera with soap opera words of empty promises and superficial lapses of self-centeredness. God is not needy. Therefore, he is most free to love with perfect love. 1 John 3:16, 17, and 23. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And again, notice it's talking about those in the body of Christ, the brethren. Or as some of us joke, the brethren and the sister, the sisters, the brothers and the sisters. Okay, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. 1 John 4:7 through 11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God or born out of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And let me just say, as an aside, when it says that God is love, we can tell by the original Greek that this is kind of like saying God is loving. We cannot turn that around and say that love is God. Love is, we can't say love is God, but we say God is love, just like we say God is holy and, you know, different things. God is true. We're describing God here. We're talking about the glory of his characteristics. Okay, consequences and reactions. The consequences of Jesus' radical command to love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, pray for those who persecute us and spitefully use us, and bless those who curse us. This challenges our reactions to evil done to us and or to those important to us. See, we have a little thing in counseling. E equals I plus R. So you have an event. E, here's an event. Something happens. And then the I stands for interpretation. However we might interpret that event determines our response. Is it going to be a well-thought-out response or a reaction? E equals I plus R. The event equals the interpretation plus our response, reaction, or a thought-out response, or let's say a mature response. How will we respond? And that is important to us to think about. How will we respond? We can talk about love for enemies and get very spiritual sounding about doing good to those who commit acts of evil. But reactions Jesus is talking about come from a transformed heart and renewed mind. What does it take? It takes courage to love like this. It takes the grace of God sanctifying us. It takes understanding and acceptance of the process of God's sifting and sorting, separating and sanctifying, even stripping. It takes understanding, believing and trusting the covenant Lord who smites, who takes vengeance, who vindicates, whose judgments are true and righteous. It takes embracing the fire of God's holy love. And I have written a message on that, which can be found, we have to do a little search on our internal search engine, at barrycraig.org. It's in the news and views section, and it was called Embrace the Fire. So it takes embracing the fire of God's holy love, and if you are interested, you can go there and learn more from that article, Embrace the Fire. It takes passing from death to life and walking in the power of resurrection. And again, you can go to marycraig.org, the homepage, or to News and Views, but you're going to search for love, the power of resurrection. It takes a sincere love, letting love be without hypocrisy. And again, marycraig.org, you do an internal search on Let Love Be. The whole title may be Let Love Be Without Hypocrisy. It's in the News and Views section on marycraig.org. Now, is this rolling over? No, not rolling over. Are we to be patsies and victims? No. It is a personal, as contrasted with the social ethic or government ethics, whereby we do to others what we would have others do to us, not compromising who we are in Christ, not rendering evil for evil. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful, which means be merciful. be courteous, not in rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are there unto call that you should inherit a blessing. 1 Peter 3:8-9. Because you see, we are blessed, not for that our being blessed to end with ourselves, like, oh, bless me, God, please, please, bless me. And then we're blessed and we just, oh, there. Thank you, God. No, it's not like that. We are blessed to be a blessing. And then when we bless others, we inherit a blessing. We are to bless God. And we as we bless God, we will inherit a blessing. And you can go through this many psalms, or bless the Lord, O my soul, and that all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, those psalms. And they are there. We can pray those psalms back to the Lord and say those words. They are scripture, the word of God. We can do it with all confidence, and we inherit a blessing. So we are blessed to be a blessing and sometimes go out and, you know, purpose to be a blessing. We can do that by praying for people, visiting people, and taking care of animals, taking care of all kinds of things. We were called to tend the garden and be like caretakers, or we might say caregivers. The love of Christ, his love for us, and our attachment to him in supreme loyalty compels us and constrains us. So, let's consider Paul's appeal. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so we want to consider that. That's something we can also pray. We can pray that prayer along with Paul. It is scripture. And it goes on. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3:14-21. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Mark 1:14-15. To see this kingdom, you will need to be born again. To enter this kingdom, you will need to be born again. John 3. To repent, you will need God to change your heart first. Repentance is a gift, just like faith is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. Everything comes to us as a gift, good and perfect gifts. To believe, you must belong. You must be one who is a born out of God one. This takes the Holy Spirit. If he plants in you the seed of life, he is planting in your heart the life Jesus gives. That life will sprout and grow and live into the ages of the ages. Eternal life is only in Christ. Do you want it? Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25, verse 34. And to this we say, Amen. And Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we ask, Lord, that you will take these scriptures, that you will open the eyes of our minds to comprehend, perceive, and understanding, and open the eyes of our hearts to receive what you are saying in your word, in the scriptures. And Lord, we say, heal us, and we are healed. Save us, and we are saved. For you are our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.